shut up about your Mexican food. Yeah. You know, like, I brought it up. Like, what? It's so stupid. Like, it's the stupidest thing ever. Like, I do love Mexican food, though.
What is going on?
Welcome to the Goose of Grace, because all the good names are taken. My name's Dan Amos.
And you're joined with Drew Meadows.
Oh, that's so classy.
You started out with very classy.
Yeah, I figured I would throw you.
I actually matched your energy today.
If I reeled it back, I figured I could throw you off. But no, nicely played, good sir. Nicely played. How are things going?
Things are going, as our people across the lake will say, swell.
Swimmingly. Oh.
Well, guys, we have to end the podcast because apparently we're not best friends because we can't think of the same sentence.
I was like, yes, how did that happen?
We got the SW down. We're almost there. We're halfway to best friends. We're
so
just be
proud
friends
of us for a minute.
We're just be friends.
Yeah,
we're missing
we're
the
working
SG.
Up to it. Oh, man. So we hope you guys survived the eclipse with your eyeballs intact.
Straight up, looked at it three times with just straight eyeballs, no glasses.
I glanced and go, it was super cloudy here. I will say the like outdoors looked really like kind of otherworld. Like it was bright, but it wasn't bright.
No, you know what it looked like? And this is I'm serious. Once you think about it, you're going to agree. Right. How movies portray Mexico.
Yes. Yes. It was a little dustier looking. Yeah, yeah.
It was just, I mean, that is how they do it though.
Like, yeah. I kind of wish it always looked like that. Like even like you could tell there were areas the sun was hitting where it was bright, but even that wasn't as bright as it normally would be.
It looked like it was almost sunset.
Yeah. Or like right before there's a storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, man, I'm kind of digging this. But
I mowed during it. It was nice.
Oh, did you? Oh. Yeah. Well, I guess you don't look up the sun a lot when you mow.
It's hurting my eyes.
I never look at the ground when I mow. I just... My yard is a mess.
Wendy
and I've lost three dogs.
Wendy and Savannah get in a circle, just the two. So they just hold hands. And they start praying, dear Lord, let him get some grass today.
All right. So all this talk about the eclipse, both sides of it, there were people who said, oh, this is the sign. It's the end of the times. There were people who say, oh, isn't it interesting that all this random stuff happens because there obviously is.
And I'm in the middle of like, wow.
You're just enjoying the ride.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, let me look at this with my eyes.
But it got me thinking about some things. And so we're going to start off in Genesis 1:1-5. Five, as you I think it's the French pronunciation of five.
I think it's Norwegian.
Drew's going to read and I'll pray.
All right, so Genesis 1:1-5. It reads, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light from the darkness. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word and to spend time together and just enjoy diving into your word a little bit. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that we don't have to look far at all to see your power on display, to see your characteristics. We can just look at nature and see your fingerprints on all of it. And it speaks to your majesty, your power, your greatness, but also your love for us. And so we just thank you for that, and thank you for this opportunity to share your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I got a tricky question. Supposedly you have your
why are you back on this train, man? I thought we got rid of it.
Master Divinity here.
I didn't get it from here. No, I didn't get it.
Not from here, but apparently, supposedly,
yeah, Mary Baptist Church, Pastor.
You turned in the required box tops and got one.
True.
If it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, who created everything that exists?
God.
Right. All right. So there's folks that kind of push this idea that, well, there was the earth was here, but it wasn't really formed, and space was here, but it really wasn't formed. So God just took what was already here and formed it into, like, clay. Yes, true.
It takes. I raised my hands. That's why he called on me.
We're
in a podcast. It takes more faith to believe in that because you believe there's a God, but you believe he's handicapped.
Right, right.
Like, I'm being serious. Yeah. It takes more faith to believe in that because there's no way that it says that. Like, yeah, you just like, at that point, you're coming up with it on your own.
It says, First verse, in the beginning, which first of all, let me take another little sidestep here. There's people who say, well, that wasn't the beginning. That was the beginning of his time of creation, of creating. Well, here's the thing. If he created everything, if nothing was here, and it's the beginning of that process, there's no, it's still the beginning. Like, regardless, there was nothing here. He marked the beginning of creation by his act of creation.
He didn't just come out. Like, he didn't just all of a sudden appear and was like, okay, I just appeared. I got to create something. Yeah. Like, no, he didn't do that.
First day on the job. What do I do? Like, no, that's not. But it says, in the beginning, God not shaped, not manipulated, none of that. God created the heavens and the earth. And last time I checked, created meant to make. It's the idea that, here's the thing, if it was already there, he didn't have to make it.
And it says right there, it says void.
Yep, yep.
That means it's nothing.
What does void mean?
Yeah.
Exactly, it points to nothingness. So out of his power alone, not out of like, he didn't, it's not like when I go to bake a cake, like the ingredients weren't there and he's just like, let me mix these together, see what happens. That's exactly what I do in the kitchen. I take on the accent and everything.
Well, that's the thing. If you have all those, if you're looking at your kitchen space where you're cooking, and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
There's no ingredients. That's a void right there. Yeah. There's a void.
And I don't know about you, but I can't be like, all right, cake, let's make this cake.
But if there's cake there, you're not going to say, oh, look at this void. Yeah. No, because there's stuff there. Like,
I don't know. I may have looked at the eclipse too long. I'm like, man, nothing here at all.
Man, this is a weird
really
bad.
Got to pay that light bill.
Where is the bathroom?
Sir, and all I hear is, sir, this is a Denny.
Your wife's going, Dad, you're in the kitchen.
Not again. But no, it's kind of ridiculous to think of this idea. So, and I'm giving some people credit here. So these are the people who say, well, God exists, but I'm gonna make some horrible lapses in logical judgment here. Number one, I'm gonna say that the very first verse of the Bible is incorrect.
And again, so, it takes more faith to believe what you're saying because the Bible refutes what you're
saying. That's the thing.
And so you're saying, hey, the Bible's partially right.
Which is the same as saying the Bible's wrong.
Yeah.
So you're gonna come at me and say, I believe there's a God, but what he said is holy and his and good for correction and teaching. He got all of that wrong. Like, that's a brazen move. That's a bold move, God. Let's see how it plays. Like, no. The other issue is there. So then you have those who say, well, there's no God. There's no rhyme or reason to creation. There was no creation. The Big Bang happened, and then this like fat frog with like 1.5 legs drug itself out of the water and became, you know, every kind of creature.
Speaking
on the earth.
Fluent English.
Yeah, obviously.
Why, this is extraordinary.
This is quite the predicament.
I think I need to grow another leg.
So, but here's the thing. This is, you tell me which one you see evident today. So he begins not haphazardly, not the way I bake a cake, okay? I pour the icing in, then a couple eggs, and then just kind of figure out it.
And then you call your wife.
Then I'm like, honey, the kitchen's on fire again. But no, there's a rhyme and reason. So he goes through and creates the light and the dark, and then he goes through and creates firmament, but the earth and the waters, all of that. So there, and by the time he gets to people, there is, think of this. This is amazing, but we see it today. There is an interconnected ecosystem. There's an ecology to the way God created the earth. And it was there from the beginning. That's the amazing thing. And so once you get to the Garden of Eden, not only is there a physical ecology, there's a spiritual ecology, and that ecology includes things we have today, like the idea of family, the idea of a church even is there. But it points to things that we know. We know, I don't care if you're Christian or not, you know that people are not created. Well, I can't say created if you're not a Christian. People do not exist in a way that functions well in isolation. We know that. We know from scientific experiments, children cannot handle isolation, from being separated from everybody. Well, what we see is God actually creates people and says, it is not good for man to be alone. He creates a wife for him. He creates a woman. And so what we see, if you look at these two ideas of how the world came to be and how it exists today, which one lines up with what we know to be true scientifically? And it is God created it that way. Like, it just dumbfounds me. All right, go. I need a minute to breathe.
Well, I mean, golly, man, just breathe. So, no, I mean, I agree. We, you know, we were the last thing to be created. Everything was already in place before we got here. Yeah, I know it's easy to say, well, yeah, because we were formed, we evolved last, and
yeah.
No, like
here, yeah. Okay, let's
Well, I didn't mean to get you restarted.
Let's talk about evolution for a minute. I don't want this to be the whole purpose of our talk, but let's talk for a second about evolution.
I will say this: if we did come from the water, we devolved, because I can't hold my breath longer than like 50 seconds.
I can't even swim.
So, if we evolved, we would have kept our, like, gills.
I evolved from a rock.
Yeah. I mean,
like, that's what I kept all the properties of it.
That's what I float like.
That's, yeah. So, I was thinking about this today. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about evolution because, to me, it doesn't require a whole lot of thought. You can figure it out pretty quick. Okay. So, what is the basic building block of life?
Mitochondria.
Is that the only word you knew that related to
that powerhouse of the cell?
That's our rock band, by the way. We take 80s rock hits and turn them into science lessons. That's what it is. No, but DNA is the essentially the blueprint made that tells us how we're going to turn out, right?
Made up of cells, which is made up of mitochondria. So, I mean, who's really right?
You have just destroyed all scientific credibility we have. Single-handedly with one sentence. But here's the thing. All right. So DNA is essentially made up, and I'm dumbing this way down. I don't understand a lot of it. I'll just be honest with you. When you get down to it, it's made up of proteins, okay? So here's the thing. Not mitochondria, believe it or not. When's the last time a protein, okay, had a thought? They don't have brains. We're talking very basic building block here. All right. So follow me for a minute. If it can't think, it can't plan, it's essentially a blueprint. The blueprint let's look at blueprints for a house. A blueprint tells how the house will be built.
You don't go walk out to the land and put a blueprint down and be like, I'll come back in 3 days and there's a house.
And you don't consult it. That's the thing. Yep. So like the it's blueprint tells how the house is going to be built, but doesn't decide how that somebody else has to decide to make the blueprint.
There has to be a maker.
Right. So here's my thing. Where is the mind that looks at the external environment and says, this body's not well suited for it. We've got to start making some changes here. Who does that? Again, the blueprint doesn't decide when I'm like, man, I wish there was another closet. I can't talk to the blueprint and be like, hey, add a walk-in.
You can't walk in and draw on the blueprint.
It's not the magic purple crown here. So, logically, there's so many gaps there that don't make sense. Now, people will say, well, there are examples of microevolution. Absolutely. Guess who planned those? God planned those. If they occur, but remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about adaptation, the ability given by God to these creatures. We're not talking about, a puddle of slime becoming Dan Amos, which is not a huge leap, but still,
it's a leap.
There's a change still. It's level one Pokemon evolution here. We got, so to me, I don't care about your beliefs, whatever. But don't tell me that to be logical, you have to believe in this idea of evolution that also says, essentially all this cosmic dust got thrown to a mixing bowl and out came, and this is what we're going to get into, out came a world that happens to be perfect for human existence, happens to be perfect for human enjoyment. Okay, look, we could have existed and things could have been different where every tree was like,
Could be out to kill every human.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You get too close to it, it's going to be like, it's like Harry Potter, that one that moves. Yeah. Bah, it just whips you.
We might still exist. We could still exist, but it would be a horrible existence.
Yep.
And so that's the thing, is how much faith does it take? I would argue way more than it takes to believe God's word as it's written. How much faith does it take to say, wowee, look at this happenstance, you know, look at this coincidence that we just happen to end up on a planet where we can, for the most part, enjoy the way it's created. It's almost as if it was created for us. I'm sure lucky that happened by accident.
Yeah, if we were an inch closer to the sun, we would burn up. If we were an inch farther away from the sun, we would freeze. Like, so we had to
today, there's been a lot of fluctuation. I think we're kind of shimmying back and forth.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. But, like it just shows you, like, oh, yeah, like it has everything we need. And then, plus, it is exactly far enough away from the biggest star in our solar system that it heats and cools us.
Yeah,
and doesn't burn us up to a crisp or freezes us to death.
And then we get things like sunsets. And we're like, man, I sure am glad that not only we ended up on this planet that's perfect for human existence, but that it just happens to also, just by complete coincidence, also be gorgeous to look at. Like,
oh yeah, imagine the trees were just like ugly.
Like flesh colored. No, no thank you. No thank you.
And like, yeah. You already explained it, but like, I mean, everything matches with you know, it's not like, oh, the grass is orange and then all the trees are like purple. Like, that would look ugly.
Well, again, but it points to a very, I mean, I don't think we've even come out to.
And then on top of that, right, what do trees produce?
Oxygen.
And what do we need to survive?
Oxygen.
All right. You look.
We won the cosmic lottery. Okay. I mean, literally, like, your chances to win a lottery are better than your chances of ending up on a planet
you look
where all of that's provided.
You look inside of a lung and see all the branches it has, you know, and you look at a tree, they look very similar, just one's the other way around. I mean, it's just, you know.
It's almost like they were created by the same being.
Exactly.
Isn't that crazy?
Do you know a full-size
Muffin Man?
Shrek. And there's Shrek. You know, a full size person can fit in
I'm a very full size person.
What's the big thing in a heart? The main
aorta.
Yeah. Is it a valve or is it a vein? Aorta valve.
Yeah.
In a whale.
Okay. I was so confused. I was like, does that thing stretch that much?
No, you can fit in a whale's aorta valve.
I was like, I knew mine was probably enlarged by this point, but I don't think a human could fit in it.
Oh, Savannah, we gotta try something.
But here's the thing, it's kind of like, and then I got another piece of scripture I want to share, but it's kind of like if I woke up on my birthday and I come down to eat breakfast and all my favorite foods are there. It's a large table, let's be honest. But all my favorite foods are there. There's a sign that says happy birthday, and like I get a gift that just is phenomenal. And I say, man, I'm so lucky that this stuff fell into place right here with no help from anyone.
And Wendy's in the back just...
Yeah, I mean, you're like, wowee, I am lucky that this just fell into place.
And this is a perfect example, right? Have you ever seen a magician?
I mean...
Like, for real, a magician. Have you ever seen a magician? Like a
wizard?
No, like a dude.
Okay,
who does
so
it
we're
for
admitting
his job.
He doesn't do real magic. Okay, an illusionist.
Yes,
okay,
kind of, but all right. Magician.
Yes,
a magician.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They disappear a lot, so it's kind of tricky.
Do you enjoy yourself even though you don't know how he's doing the tricks?
Yeah,
but yet when it comes to God, we have to understand.
I don't understand
everything.
It. So well,
But right. yet with a magician, you don't have to understand anything.
Right.
And you say, well, yeah. Or scientists, they don't have to explain anything. They could just say, hey, you know, we evolved from apes. Can't tell you anything else about it. Yeah, our DNA matches up, but it's not exactly right.
They got nostrils, we got nostrils. I think I've solved the case.
They have thumbs. The only other, and so they have to be, you know, and people are like, oh, that's definitely right. But you're like, hey, God created everything. Where's the proof? Like, what?
I mean, I look like a manatee. It does not mean we're related. I can't swim, so that proves it right there. No, but okay, and let's talk about science for a minute, and then I promise I'm going to get to the second piece of scripture I'm going to hit. So we have this is where I think everybody gets it wrong, except for me. I get it right, so I'm going to just...
Wow.
this is where I think everybody gets it wrong. So for the scientist, their discoveries, and not I'm not saying every scientist, but the majority of scientists view their discoveries as a nail in the coffin of this image of God. Okay, they've proven, no, this isn't God, this is science. Christians, unfortunately, seem to think, oh, that science, it can't be Christian. This is my opinion. What is science? Knuckleheads, I'll put it that way. I was going to be a little harsher. Except us trying to understand God's creation. If you go about it that way, if that's the attitude you go about it with, then number one, there's nothing anti-Christian about science. It's us trying to understand God's creation. And we even understand the fact, if you approach it from that way, that we're not going to get all the answers.
Well, and you go back to God created science.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. That's it. He created the thing we're studying, and so there's
we're just using it in the wrong way. Scientists are using it the wrong way. Right. They're using it to try to disprove God.
Right. They're using it the wrong way, and we're brushing it off as something evil when it's not, but it needs to be used the correct way. One of the hugest, just mind-blowing things I learned in college.
Hugest is not a word. It's not a word.
It's the most huge.
Just say biggest. I would just say big and just end it. I was like, wait, huge is bigger than big.
One of the extremely largest, hugest things I ever learned is there's a guy. First of all, I loved his name. Steve Austin is his name. He's a scientist. He didn't know that. He doesn't just break chairs over people's heads or anything. But the scientist learned that if you make one small change to the understanding of our carbon dating and then go back through the layers of Earth, okay, from the core out, it lines up perfectly. I don't mean almost. I mean it lines up perfectly. The changes in the soil line up perfectly with the events of the Bible. The flood, everything, earthquakes, all of it is accounted for in that.
Well, and this is the funny part. Everything that we found out about biblical times has lined up with the Bible. Mount Sinai.
Yep.
You know, it's burnt at the top.
It's crispy.
Yeah. they have found where the ark rested, exactly what the Bible says it is, and there's an exact outline that matches the exact measurements to a centimeter from what the Bible says.
And what do we get? We get, wait, that supports the idea that the Bible's true. Nope, it's wrong. It's got to be wrong.
Yep. And then, you know, you find all these seashells on mountains, and they're like, no, just water level is higher.
somebody has seashells in their pocket, climbed them out, dropped them. There they are.
And like, and then, like, historically, it lines up with our records of history.
I mean, and that's where I do blame the science
found
side of things.
Chariots at the bottom of the Jordan River. And they're like,
it was a situation like on The Office where he's listening to the GPS and he just drove into the water.
It's just a person who crouched behind the chair, can't see a lick. Turn left here. Yeah. Are you sure? The river is right there. He's like, turn left here.
That's beautiful. No, but that's where I blame the science side of things. It's amazing the gymnastics that take place and are accepted on a large scale just because they've started at the point of the Bible can't be true. So if it aligns with the Bible, it has to be.
It's so smart, they're stupid.
Yes.
It's overthinking.
I've never been accused of that. All right.
And this is going to end it, right? Like, I play golf, not good, because I overthink, right?
All right.
And so I'll get there. I'm in the fairway. All I got to do is, grab the right club that I know I can hit that far. I'm like, well, no, the wind's blowing. I'm gonna hit a club that goes farther because the wind's blowing my face. It's going to knock it down. But then, the grass is going that way, so I need to use a club down.
3 hours later,
I take a swing and hit it 2 miles over because I overthought it when I could just grab the club I knew I hit. It's just overthinking.
Yeah. Well, the simplest, most straightforward answer is usually the answer.
Yep.
And yet we create all of these systems to disprove that answer because we don't like it.
Like the new math.
Oh my gosh.
Have you seen that?
Yes. And it makes me so angry. I've taught it. I've taught it. Didn't want to teach it, but I've taught it.
It's just like, oh my goodness.
I was teaching kids and then I promise we're going to move on. I was teaching kids that couldn't count to group by like tens and fives, and they're like, what? I mean, it was horrible.
It's like,
it was horrible.
It's like 10 plus 10.
Dissect and draw it a certain way.
It's like 10 plus 10. Well, okay, what's 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5? That, yeah, that's it.
Now, if you divided that by 4.3 and it was a Tuesday, like,
and
no.
It was 11 o'clock on the dot, you add 3 back.
All right.
Like, so, oh, my goodness.
So I'm going to move on finally. And then we got
apparently it's just me and you venting.
For closing thoughts here. All right. So I'm in Romans 1, and I'm going to read verse 20. It comes before 21. There we go. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So here's the thing. I'll actually continue 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thought. Now, hear this. but became futile in their thoughts. Hold on, I got excited. And their foolish hearts were darkened. I'm going to read 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So here's the deal. Tell me this has not happened already. Okay. Tell me this is not what we're looking at right now, what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We look around and we see the majesty of God through his creation. You can't look at it and not see God's majesty.
You can't. It's like this. Might not make sense to you, but this is perfect to me.
This is craziness.
I go to an art museum, right? I've only been in one my whole life. It was in Peru, right? And I'm looking.
I thought you were going to say Legoland.
I'm looking at this artwork, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, just look at the colors.
Yes.
Yeah. This artist used. This artist knew what they were doing. But it would be like me walking into an art museum and saying, that is crazy that happened by accident.
Yeah.
That's crazy that it just showed up on that canvas.
That canvas fell into some paint and what happened.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, you know, at Marion, you'd look out right over Holden's house.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Gorgeous sunset.
Yes, yes.
Right, or you go to the beach and the sun sets.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
Yep.
People can look at that and say, man, I'm so lucky this happened on accident.
Yeah, I have one question. Are you stupid? I'm sorry. That's horrible. But
And the fact that, like we said earlier, the trees give off oxygen,
yep,
which is what we need to survive.
What a coinky dink.
Exactly. And the fact that, you know, we're not an inch closer to the sun. We're not
right.
An inch farther away. You know, certain plants can't grow in certain type of, it's like they were put there.
Yeah.
Right. In the correct environment that they could thrive.
And we can eat so many of these things.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, how horrible would it have been if, you know, again, the cosmic mixing bowl shook a little different, and the only thing that we could eat here was, like, celery. That's no way to live.
My daughter would be in heaven. She loves celery.
I would be too, because I would have died of starvation.
Look, I'm not going to lie. It worked like the circle of life. The fact that we have herbivores. Not everyone's a carnivore.
I was like, the Lion King?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the Lion King, but it's also like a real thing.
Like,
it's not strictly the Lion King.
One of those has had a larger impact on my life, and it's the Lion King.
Oh, no, 100%. Me too. But like the fact that we don't have just all carnivores, because everybody would just eat everybody.
Yeah.
But the fact we have herbivores that carnivores can eat.
Yep.
I mean, it's just a circle of life. That when the carnivores die, they fertilize the grass, and make grass so the herbivores can keep eating. Like, I mean, the fact that exists.
Down to the level of, like, micronutrients and bacteria and all this stuff that, like, entire huge ecosystems depend on. We never think about it. But if those things, you know, if there's too much or too little, the whole ecosystem begins to die. It's crazy.
And the fact that when you get sick, you run a fever because your body's trying to fight.
Yep.
The fact that your body produced white blood cells to fight disease instead of just being like, well, you're sick, like, give up.
No. I'm pretty sure my body does that, though.
But like the fact that your body can get equilibrium without you having to think about it.
Yeah.
It does in the background.
Most times,
The fact that I don't have to think, okay, breathe in, breathe out.
As a matter of fact, if you try that, if you're like me, it completely messes your breathing.
You get off rhythm and you're like, how do I breathe?
I forgot.
But no, the fact that your body can do all that without you thinking, the fact that you can go to sleep and you can dream. The fact that you can go to sleep and you can wake back up the next day and your body's not just like, oh, but guess what? We forgot how to wake your legs up, so you're paralyzed.
Drag yourself out.
Good luck. It's amazing that everywhere you look, the fact that we have the knowledge to build buildings, to say, hey, look, there's a tree. If I put a bunch of trees together, there's a house that predators can't get in.
You should see this man's house. It's just made out of trees. Like, the whole thing is just trees.
I planted cedars all around me.
He's playing the long game on the habitat.
And so it's currently cold in my house. You give it a couple of years, we're going to be great. I'm trying to build. I got to get it high enough so the water quits hitting the rain. But I'm telling you, like everything you look at, and it's just like, this all did not happen by accident. The fact that someone had the knowledge to make a car.
Yeah.
The fact that someone looked up at the sky and said, you know what? I think I can fly like a bird.
Yeah. Yeah.
God gave him that. Yeah. Like, the fact that someone looked underwater and said, hey, I want to be able to, or just looked at the water and be like, I want to be able to float on the water.
Yeah.
I want to be able to travel on the water.
That stuff looks fun. I want to get in there.
It's not by accident. Or the fact that we're not all made exactly the same, with the same specialties, the same flaws. And that's the key, because if we evolution, right? Everybody's going to be made the same.
Yep.
The difference
eventually
is
begin to it will all connect.
The differences would be deformations, not like, well, Drew could run really far. Dan can eat whatever he wants.
This kid's half fish because he didn't finish evolving. Yeah.
Exactly. Or this kid, like, instead of arm has a fin, and the other arm's a wing like a bird. Like, this kid's weird. No,
it's Dr. Doolittle all of a sudden. But here's the thing, and we gotta stop. I'm telling you now, I'm gonna have to cut some of the beginning so we can.
I was planning on you doing that.
So, the other thing you hit on something that I want to touch real quick, and that is we're creating God's image, and everybody wants to like worry about the physical side of that. Okay, here's what I want to point out. Where did we get this need? I'll put it as a need because there's not a person that exists on earth in the history of mankind that hasn't done this one thing. And so it's a need because we have to do it, and that is our need to create. Now, I'm not saying you're an artist. I'm not saying you're an architect. But at some point, you have had the desire to create.
My daughter, right, at 3 years old, last night, she colored and she created something and wanted to show me. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so where do we get that desire? The thing of it is, if this is all just based on our evolution and our needs and stuff, why do we create things we don't need? Supposedly we don't need music. Okay. But here's the thing. And music is a great example. We have to create because we have that same desire that the creator has, right? Our creator, our heavenly father. And so, but then I was thinking about this yesterday. Then when you go into music, you once again see that interconnectedness, because here's the thing. In order to make music, there has to be a vibration. Okay. That vibration has to happen at a certain frequency that creates a tone. My ear is designed to hear those tones. Isn't that the craziest thing?
Hear that sound wave.
Right. Yeah. And so then, because I can recognize the systematic way these things relate to each other, we can add these together and make countless songs, countless different noises, if you will. Especially if I'm involved, it's a noise. But we say, oh, isn't that weird that we just kind of can't? No, it's designed that way by the creator of the entire universe. Are you? Well, you got something? You look like you got something.
Well, my final thoughts.
I got one last thing, and then we're gonna move.
Well, no, my final thoughts gonna be like you. It's gonna be a soliloquy.
Okay. All right.
It's gonna be a lot.
I got one last thing, and I'm gonna give it to you. So all this came about, this rant that I've had building in me, because I saw somebody post something that said, "I'm so grateful to Mother Nature or the cosmos or something. I can't remember what stupid way they put it." that life happens to exist on one of the few planets where a complete solar eclipse can happen, because apparently other planets, because of the way the distance is and everything, does not happen. We just supposedly happen to be at the right angle, the right distance for this to happen. And my first thought was and this points back to what was said in Romans, they'll succumb to their foolishness, essentially. How foolish do you have to be to say, the one plant that supports life has this event that leaves us in awe. And people posted, they were crying. They remember, they realized how small they really are. They, all these things that to me point to the realization of our smallness in contrast to God's greatness. But yet you say, well, isn't it strange that it just happened to be on the one planet that's inhabitable, and it happens here? No, that's design. You go, the Mars rover is fascinating. I love Mars rover. But we sent this thing out there, millions of dollars, to look at rocks. And we get out there and we're like,
ooh, look at this rock.
Look, there might be a bit of moisture vapor on this rock. Isn't that exciting? I can walk out.
This rock is shaped like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I can walk out. I can look out the window here and see something 10 times more beautiful than anything that's ever existed on that rock. Isn't it lucky that we ended up here? Your final thoughts, sir.
So my final thought, again, is going to be soliloquy. First time in three deaths and three resurrections, two resurrections. It's simple. It's Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were ever born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet of the nations. Look, if we're wrong, me and you are wrong, every Christian's wrong, that there is no God, yeah, evolution happened, then life is meaningless and has no hope.
Right. Yep.
But the great thing about being a Christian is we have hope.
Yep.
At the fact that when we get to the spot where no human has traveled past and that will ever get past, and that's death, that we have a hope that our life continues.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact that we're so hell-bent to disprove that hope, it's gotten to a point where it's just sad.
It is, yeah.
That you're willing to say, I would rather have no hope in my life. I would rather have no meaning in my life than to trust in something I can't explain and be wrong or made to seem not smart and go to hell, rather than saying, I don't understand it all, but that's okay because I have a hope in Jesus Christ.
Yep. And I serve a God much larger than that, so I'm not going to understand.
And it goes back to, you know, people weeping how small they are. Great thing about Christians is they already know how small they are. They said there's like a billion galaxies. Yeah. And we're in the Milky Way galaxy, and that's just one galaxy. There's billions of them. And so, yeah, like we are small. But guess what? Our God is bigger than all of those galaxies together. And He knew you, and He formed you before you were ever born. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you this, and this right here, we can hold on to. And this is what I hold on to in the dark days, that He loved you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That He would come to this rock, send His Son to this rock to die on the cross for these people.
Yep.
So that they can live in eternity with Him.
Fully knowing the wretchedness of their sin.
And he was not ignorant. And to go a step farther. When He created Adam, He knew Adam was going to fail.
Yep.
He knew the moment He created Adam, the moment He created the stars, the moment all this started, He knew He was sending His Son to die on the cross.
Yep. And yet He still did.
That's how much He loves you.
That's a good word.
And yet you sit here and say, I hate Him so much, I'm going to disprove He's even real.
Yep.
How dare we?
And I would even go a step further with that and say, you know, there, if you get in these discussions with, I don't like calling out groups necessarily, but with atheists, here's the thing. I know that, I was going to use an example. I don't want to mess up kids' childhood here.
Well, while you're thinking.
Hold on. I know that, the Loch Ness Monster is not real. Okay. Feel pretty secure in that. I can't tell you the last time I went around telling people, hey, Loch Ness Monster isn't real. Why? Because if it's not real, I'm not concerned with it. So how does an atheist claim that God's not real, but then get so offended by Him and spend so much of their life and their efforts? That's not just understanding something not being real. That's an anger, a hatred toward that thing. And if you hate something, guess what? I've never hated something that's imaginary. It, simply by the fact that you feel the need to hate it, he's real.
And look, sometimes it's best not even to argue. My dad, both my grandpas, I've always told me, if you know the truth, you're not going to be the loudest voice in the room.
Yeah, I've never yelled at somebody telling them the sky is blue.
Yeah,
because I know it's true. I don't have
to prove. The truth doesn't need to be proven. Yep. It's already there.
It's true. It's by definition.
And the great thing is, when you're arguing with atheists, you have all the facts on your side.
Yeah.
The Bible's never been disproven.
Yep.
And all these historical facts, like there's a historical fact that a man named Jesus, when the Bible said he died on the cross, and then he went to that specific tomb.
Yep.
And he's not there anymore.
There are records written by people who had every reason to try to disprove it, mm-hmm. that state that he existed.
And that his body is not where it is.
Absolutely.
It's supposed to
Absolutely.
Be. And so like this is the key. If you put your whole existence into God,
mm-hmm.
you have a life worth living.
Oh, absolutely.
No matter if you're not the richest, if you're not, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because you will, not on your own accord, but you will defeat death.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your Savior done, right. already has, your Creator. Isn't that crazy that the Creator had to die for His creation?
Yeah, yeah.
And just really think about that. Like, the Creator had to die for His creation.
I've never died for anything. Well, no. I would say I would, you know, for my daughter, I would, yeah. But for I don't know, something I built out of Legos or something, probably not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. it's like Dan drawing something, and the government like, oh, I hate that. And Dan's like, well, don't take it. Kill my daughter.
Yeah. Love you, Savannah.
Yeah, I mean, just like, hey, Savannah, you're going to take one for the team here because I drew this really good.
Did you see it? I didn't even trace.
it's the best circle I've ever drew.
It's a donut on a page. The last thing I want to point out, then we've gone over, but man, this may be my favorite episode yet. Going back to this idea of like, man, I felt so small, we were crying. Here's the thing. If you believe all this is just happenstance, just, you know, again, big bang, things just kind of collided together, whatever, then that's the equivalent of me crying because I spilt a box of Cheerios and it kind of resembles Tony Danza, okay? Because here's the thing. If you believe that way, there's no greater meaning. There's nothing after this existence. Once this earth is gone, nothing we do matters at that point. Everything we've ever done ceases to matter at that exact moment. And so there's really no meaning to anything. And so
each day you're creating is a day wasted.
Right. And what I would point to then is to say, maybe, just maybe, those feelings, those thoughts you're having, is that connection that's not completely broken to God, that regardless of your best efforts, somewhere in there is that connection that understands that there is more, that God did create us for a purpose, that there is eternity after this life. And I would say if you feel even that smallest tug, look into it, because to me what it means is your heart is not too far gone at this point. It has not been hardened to that point where you cannot accept the gift of salvation. And so that's my final thought is if you're an atheist and you happen to, I don't know how you stumble across, I don't know how anybody stumbles across this series, but that would be my encouragement is just take a step back and look at what it could mean that you're experiencing these things. Anything else?
That's it, man.
Man, this is a heck of an episode. All right. You going to pray?
You praying.
I'm praying. I prayed. Oh, yeah. I always think I'll pray once and then, all right, let's see if we got
one. He don't like talking to God, guys.
Yes. Here we go. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you didn't just create us and then say, well, off with you. You're on your own. You've been involved in every millisecond of our existence. And we can look out and see your fingerprints on this earth. And everything that we do, if done for your glory, reminds us that we are imitating Christ, we are copying Christ, and we can't help but do that because we are your creation. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray for those who felt that little tug that there's got to be something more. It can't just be all happenstance and coincidence. We pray that feeling would grow and it would lead them into a relationship with you that ultimately leads to an eternity with you through the blood and sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, Heavenly Father, above all else, we just pray that you be glorified through this podcast and that we continue as long as you see fit for us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
And guess what, though? It's a great day to have a great day. So, have a GER 8.